Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Panic Podcast. Or good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening to this. Good to have you with us. It is Monday, February the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2023. I'm not sure exactly when you're listening, but we're sure glad you are. On today's program, I want to talk about forgiveness. God's forgiveness specifically, as we continue looking at some of the promises in Scripture on this Monday. I hope you had a good weekend, I hope you had good church services, and I hope this is a better week for you than last week. God bless you, and we'll get started in just a second. Here we are, Monday. It's a brand new week, and it's a brand new week to get everything right that you messed up last week. I love Mondays. I believe they're a gift from God. How about that? Boy, that goes against the grain, doesn't it? Because most people don't like Mondays. My 12-year-old nephew hates Mondays because he's got to go to school Monday morning. That's somebody who's figured it out very early in life. Well, we are here. We are here in beautiful Southwest Virginia, where it is yet another gray day this winter. Haven't got a lot of snow, but boy, we've got a lot of rain, and looks like we've got more rain coming. How are things where you are? Do you see any hope for the future weather-wise? It's coming up on the end of February, and how many more weeks of winter do you have left? Have you got a lot of snow? This has been a really wet, wet winter for us here. We've got so much rain. And, I mean, my backyard at the Porter compound is like a sponge when you walk on it. It is just so wet. But as they say, all good things come to an end, and nothing stays the same. So we're looking forward to spring starting at any moment here in Southwest Virginia. I know those of you listening that live in the area, you know, there's always a chance of snow. And as a matter of fact, you had your big blizzard of, what was it, 1993, where you got, 3 feet of snow or something in March, so it happens. But I'm sure looking forward to the end of winter. I'm anxious for spring and for some warm temperatures. Well, today we're going to be looking at the promise of forgiveness. And forgiveness is a topic that I've always been interested in. And to be honest, I find it a hard topic to understand. God's forgiveness. Like, how is it possible for someone to forgive someone else and then not to remember what they've done? I mean, it is an impossibility in a human being. When someone wrongs you, you can forgive them, but I say it's impossible to forget what they've done to you. And yet we are called to do that because that's what God does. God, I prefer to use the word, chooses not to remember our sins. And that's really what we're called to do too. I think it's possible to forgive someone who's wronged you, but remember what they did, but choose to not let that hurt stay with you, or not to let what they did to you affect you in any way after you've forgiven them. I think that's a way of forgetting what they did to you. This is not only the beginning of our study for today, but it's an answer to a question that I had emailed to me a while back. How do you forgive and forget? And I think that's how I rationalize the idea of forgiving and forgetting, just making that offense not affect you in any way. So you may remember what that person did to you, but once you've forgiven them, it doesn't affect you in any way. You don't harbor any kind of bitterness or ill will or anything like that. Now, I don't know how that works with God. God is perfect. His mind is perfect. Therefore, to say that he can forget something is to imply imperfection. So as far as God is concerned, I think he purposes in his own mind not to remember that sin or not to attach it to you. Once your sin is forgiven, he removes that sin from your person, and he doesn't regard it anymore. And as far as you are concerned, if you keep remembering that sin that you've been forgiven of, you're the only one remembering it. God's not remembering it, and you're remembering it for no good reason. Once you're forgiven, you've got to let it go. And we're going to talk more about this thought about forgiveness today, especially as it relates to God's forgiveness of us. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says this: "All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." All the prophets of the Old Testament had taught, whoever believes in the name of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in other words, will receive the forgiveness of sin. It's that forgiveness of sins is not an offer made to Israel alone, but includes the whole world. Everybody. This is available to everybody. So let me ask you a question. Have you got problems? Does anybody listening to the program today not have a problem? I mean, we all have problems, don't we? Some of us have health problems. Some of us have financial problems. Others of us are confronted with problems at work. Too much work or not enough work or no work, no employment. More people than we realize, I think, have family problems. Each of us has some problems that are personal, specific. We don't talk about them. And all of us have to deal with the problem of sin because we are all sinners. One theme which concerns all of us without exception runs through the whole Bible. And this is the forgiveness of sins. Isaiah 53:6, one of my favorite verses. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Yeah, when the Word of God offers the forgiveness of sin, every one of us can say, I want that. I want to be forgiven of sin. There's a great variety of attitudes or responses that one can make towards the fact of sin. There are some, for example, who hold to the fancy that sin is really just an illusion and that they don't hesitate to deny the fact of sin. There are others who lull their consciences to sleep and ignore the presence of sin. A lot of people try to hide and conceal their sins, foolishly thinking they can hide and conceal their sins from God even. All of us have sought to excuse or to explain away or to cover up our sins, only to discover that even if our sins are not found out by others, they find us out. Remember that verse of, I think it's Numbers, let me check, I don't want to misquote myself here. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. My mother was constantly quoting that verse at me. I wonder if she knew something I didn't know. Be sure your sin will find you out. The utter chaos in our world today proclaims the undeniable fact of original sin. Man has been and continues to be the supreme mistake maker. He sins against his God. He sins against himself. He sins against his fellow man. Every man, every person stands guilty before God. He's guilty before the bar of his own conscience. And he stands guilty in the eyes of his fellow man. It's a part of the wonder of the gospel that forgiveness is offered to the sinner, every sinner. This is the truth that permeates the Old Testament. In the angelic announcement to Joseph concerning the baby that was to be born to Mary. It was said, "You will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. Following his resurrection, Jesus commissioned his disciples to go and evangelize the world with the offer, quote, "and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem," Luke 24:47. So let's talk about God's forgiveness. First of all, for you note takers out there, I would say that God's forgiveness is needed. While a man may sin against himself or his sin may involve others, in the final analysis, all sin is against God. Only God can forgive in a manner that produces freedom and joy and a sense of healthy wholeheartedness, for which I think we all hunger. Have you ever felt guilty about something that you did, a wrong that you did? A sense of guilt can actually be a blessing. We don't think of it that way very often, but a sense of guilt can be a blessing, an attitude of self-judgment concerning our failures toward God or toward self or towards others. Can often lead to confession and correction. So in that regard, guilt, a sense of guilt, a feeling of guilt, can be a good thing. But a sense of guilt can also be destructive. Guilt can literally cripple and torment and produce deep depression of heart and soul. It can lead to sickness, which in some instances results in suicide. Guilt, which is unforgiven or unresolved, can lead to a terrifying loneliness and a sense of isolation. Hopelessness and despair just settle into the soul. Faith and fear take possession of your mind. There are others who look at guilt as being a most unhealthy state of mind. Now, it must be recognized that some, because of failures of one sort or another, subject themselves to all torments of unresolved guilt. They beat themselves up day and night for something that they did. While considering themselves as guilty defendants, they appoint themselves as a prosecuting attorney who issues one indictment after another in this agonizing experience. And maybe you're somebody like that. They sit as jury, which finds the defendant guilty. Unless confession is made and forgiveness is experienced, they then appoint themselves as the judge who pronounces the sentence. And as the executioner, they eliminate the defendant by what we call suicide. And that is so sad when an individual does not handle their feelings of guilt properly. You may say this is an extreme situation, but I mean, it happens more often than we realize. And unresolved guilt, untreated guilt, perhaps it will not end in suicide for most of us, can literally kill our careers, can kill friendships, and can certainly kill marriages. The consciousness of unforgiven sin not only robs the child of God of valuable fellowship, but also makes Christian joy impossible. Is it possible for a Christian to have the guilt of unforgiven sin? Of course it is. Absolutely it is. But God's forgiveness is not only needed by everyone, saint and sinner alike, it's also adequate. David speaks of the happiness of the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Turn to Psalm 32. This really is a remarkable psalm. David was guilty of the double crimes of adultery and murder. If you remember the story of David and Bathsheba, how he had her husband killed. Are there any blacker sins listed in the books of God or on the human conscience? And even though David was guilty of these terrible sins involving himself and others and God, he was able at the same time to experience forgiveness. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. I mean, happiness is to be forgiven. It's an emotion that defies description. It's the relief of an enormous burden lifted, of a debt canceled, of a conscience at rest. Guilt is gone. Warfare is ended and peace is enjoyed. To David, it meant the forgiveness of his great transgression, the covering of his sin, the non-imputation of his iniquity, and the cleansing of his spirit from deceit. To us today, it means more than the mere covering of our sin. That was an Old Testament concept of atonement. Today, in this age, the believer knows that his sins have not just been covered, but they've been put away completely and literally buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Now, let's look at another psalm, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 3. Another great psalm, and we'll start verse 3. It'd be better read verse 2 because verse 3 starts the middle of a sentence. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. I love that. God forgives all of our sins. Not just some of them, but all of our sins. That's a powerful, powerful verse. It's an unspeakable miracle of God's grace that crimson sins can be made whiter than snow. I can empathize with the man who chose one word for his tombstone, forgiven. And also the Irishman who said, quote, the Lord Jesus has forgiven me all my sins, and he's never going to hear the end of it. I mean, that's a forgiven person right there. Praise the Lord, O my soul. God forgives all of our sins. Down at verse 12 in the same psalm. Let's go to verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I mean, God's love in providing this wonderful plan of salvation is immeasurable. It staggers the human imagination. If we could measure the distance of the heavens from the earth, we might be able to get some idea of the magnitude of his love for us, but we just can't. And we can't even determine the size of the universe we live in. And talking about infinite distance, that's exactly how far God has removed our transgressions, our sins from us. Just as as east is east and west is west and never the twain shall meet, so the believer and his sins will never meet. Those sins have been put out of God's sight forever by the miracle of love. I love that. By the grace of God, our sins are blotted out. Through Isaiah the prophet, God promised this. God is talking here. I am he who, get this, blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Man, what a powerful, powerful verse. Not only does God blot them out, but he promises with his forgiveness to not remember them. To completely forget is something which only God can do. Our sins are also cleansed by the blood of Jesus, according to 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ goes on and on and on, cleansing us from the sin that would separate us from God. So God's forgiveness is needed, God's forgiveness is adequate, but God's forgiveness is available to all who will accept it. Forgiveness is offered because everyone is in need of forgiveness. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. God is capable, more than capable, of washing you clean of your sins. The wicked man who is controlled by crooked thoughts is offered mercy and pardon if he'll simply change his attitude, his way of thinking, and return to God. We call that repentance. He'll forgive your transgression and remember them no more. Look to God, you people, says the Lord God. Isaiah 55:7. The preaching of the apostles all through the book of Acts contains the offer of forgiveness of sin and the gift of new life. You can't separate your new life in Christ from the forgiveness of your sins. God's forgiveness is adequate. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. There is no sinner beyond God's reach of forgiveness. God's forgiveness is also offered to those who trust Christ as Lord and Savior. The offer goes out to everyone, but not everyone is going to take advantage of the offer. Forgiveness is an act of God. God was in Christ, reconciling himself to the world by his life. Jesus had met all of the requirements of perfect righteousness. By his death upon the cross, Jesus was meeting the penalty of a broken law on behalf of all who would be willing to receive the remission of sins and the gift of new life through faith that would make him, Jesus, the Lord of their lives. There is no remission of sin apart from his death upon the cross for us. The forgiveness which God offers is free. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. The forgiveness that God offers is full. God forgives every sin. He doesn't miss one of them. He doesn't do anything halfway. It's not a partial forgiveness. It is a complete forgiveness which one receives from God. And God's forgiveness is forever. When God forgives, he forgets and remembers our sins against us no more. So God's forgiveness is free, full, and forever. The human response to the act of God, which issues in this wonderful forgiveness, is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine repentance and saving faith are inseparable. One is negative while the other is positive. Repentance involves a turning from the life of sin and no faith, and faith involves a turning to Christ in trust and surrender. So repentance really is a change of mind with reference to God and self, and sin, and others. Saving faith is the secure acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and a trust in him to do what he promises to do: forgive you of your sins. As wonderful as forgiveness is, it does not remove the consequences of individual sins committed by a person who has received forgiveness. Forgiveness is an experience in which a broken relationship is restored and the offense is held against the offender is no longer. The forgiven sinner is treated by God as if he had never sinned. You know, this can be our experience with God through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ every day. Because every day, you and I stand in need of forgiveness. We live in a sinful world. We live in a sin-cursed world that is out to get us. And we have a sinful nature that we deal with every single day. And that sinful nature is drawn to the sinful world like a moth to the flame. But to experience forgiveness provides us with a, well, what do we call it? A wonderful peace of mind and a conscience, a consciousness of divine mercy. When you stop and consider how God has forgiven you, you see a side of God that I think is very precious. And that phrase, Heavenly Father, becomes very, very real to you in your mind. Forgiveness removes the fear of punishment and causes love to grow in your heart for God when you realize what He has done for you. I came across this interesting little poem here when I did a series of Bible studies on forgiveness a number of years ago, and I came across this old poem. I have no idea who wrote it, but let me read you a couple of stanzas. How far is east from west? How far is the east from the west? It cannot be measured or proved. But farther than this, so the Bible tells me, my sins have forever been removed. How high are the heavens above? An infinite, measureless space. But higher than this is the gift of God's love. So great is His mercy and grace. How deep are the depths of the sea? A fathomless measure, you say. But farther than this, so my Savior tells me, my sins are forever cast away. They're gone and forgotten by God, and God has removed every doubt. For covered by blood are my many transgressions. My sins are forever blotted out. Return unto me, saith the Lord, for I have redeemed thee by my blood. Thy name is engraved on the palms of my hands, and pardoned thou art by thy God. To him who would joyfully sing, our praises to him would ascend. Our Savior, our Shepherd, our Priest and our King, our true and unchangeable Friend. See, you are able to call God your friend because He has forgiven you. And God is able to call you His friend because you accepted His forgiveness. The subject of forgiveness, I started the program out by saying how I'm fascinated with this idea of being able to forgive and forget. I don't understand it, but I so appreciate God's ability to forgive me of my many, many sins and not remember them, not ever bring them up against me in the future. That, to me, is a marvelous, marvelous thing. Well, I believe that's it for today. Monday, we will be back on the Panic Podcast on Wednesday. And I want to talk to you Wednesday about, about the rewards that you receive when you pray. And I'm not talking necessarily about answers to prayer, but when you pray, God rewards you with some very specific things. We'll maybe talk about that for a while on Wednesday. Until then, it's 29 and a half minutes past the hour. Thank you so much for listening to the Panic Podcast today. We will be back in less than 48 hours. Till then, hang in there. Stay safe and stay free. God bless.